This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Carson Palmquist is going to join us in about a half an hour. He just had a great year pitching for Miami. Yep. And Miami, by the way, had success against the two teams from the ACC in the College World Series. So he'll give you a pretty good handle on what to expect moving forward. Again, College World Series gets started tomorrow. NC State, Stanford, the first game. Virginia plays Sunday in the first of two when they take on Tennessee. So that's what's going on. We'll talk more baseball as the show goes on. But Wes, heading into this weekend, it is a Father's Day weekend, and I will say again for at least the sixth time, happy Father's Day to everybody out there, all the guys. And so we just decided to come up with something offbeat, just goofing around, kind of a bar bet, if you will. And that is, who's your daddy? And what we mean by that is, when it comes to the Atlantic Coast Conference and all the sports and teams that play, when you go through the history of our league, which would include teams like Maryland, who are no longer with us, who's the team that dominates respective sports? Who is your daddy? You know, who's the king? Who's the queen, if you will, in some respects, with the women's sports? But nevertheless, we did a deep dive with a little research going through this, and it's kind of interesting to see what ACC teams have excelled in respective sports. And we're going to kind of give you a little thumbnail sketch on this, and you might pick up on some things. Again, it's a perfect kind of bar bet segment, because you're going to probably learn something in the next 15 minutes about our conference that you probably didn't know, as far as teams that have been able to bring hardware back home after saying, hey, guess what? We're the ACC champs.
Well, and you know, like, there are a handful of sports here that we start with that are on the women's side of the ledger, and it's just incredible domination. For instance, let's go women's cross country. NC State has the most women's cross country championships with 26. That's 20 more than the next closest school, which is Florida State, who has six. Six!
By the way, I got to mention something, Wes. Number one, I don't see any golf carts in the cross country video here. I saw that the cross country championships, which were just announced, all the championships in the ACC for the upcoming 21-22 season, cross country championship, late October, South Bend, Indiana. Saw that. So when we sit down with Jim Phillips, and let me just tell you now, if I'm not mistaken, late October, North Carolina at Notre Dame in football, just saying. Do I have to bring Commissioner Swofford into the conversation to make sure that we get that handled this year?
Wait, did you already look at the calendar congruent to football for the dates of the cross country championship too?
No fool.
Oh, you did?
I'm no
fool.
Are
you that guy?
I'm the beast of bourbon. You don't think I didn't look ahead? Kidding me? Beast of bourbon
Are you then saying that not only are you going to drive the golf cart at the cross country championships with the former commissioner riding shotgun, which is apparently been that's one of the things that we talked about
on this show. Told him if he wants.
And I think And I think he kind of agreed verbally to do it.
He did.
Against better judgment.
Right. We've all been there.
You're then saying, why not Packer and Durham live on that Friday from South Bend too in some
way? Why not? Cross country championships, North Carolina at Notre Dame, nice brisk Halloween-esque kind of show. Why not?
Yeah.
I think it makes a ton of sense.
I'm just making sure that's where we were lined up.
I would like to get out of the basement. You know, I got 15 months in counting. I haven't left the basement yet. Just saying, eventually one of these shows, I'd like, whether it be Sirius XM or ACC Network, would like to get out of the house, do a show, be nice.
There you go.
Just saying. Right. I'm vaccinated. I'm good to go.
Let's move to rowing and find out what else Packer's been doing with the calendar. Virginia has won 20 rowing titles, 19 more than the next closest program, and that's Clemson with one.
Again, another event where we need to be present. Lake Hartwell next year I've told you, if you don't want to put me on one of those boats,
stay Luganbills.
We'll get on a real boat and go out there and do it. That's another Packer and Durham special, rowing 21-22. But Virginia has dominated.
All right, though. We can stay at Luganbill's house. We can already get the arrangement set up there. Let's go to women's soccer. And you know how this one works if you followed that side at all. That's North Carolina. They have won 23 ACC championships in women's soccer. And the next closest program is Mark Krikorian in Florida State, who've won 7. But the history that Anson Dorrance has written in Chapel Hill in that sport is second to none.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Just amazing. Just amazing. Same kind of dominance lives in women's golf at Duke with what Coach Brooks has done. 22 ACC championships, including the latest one at Sedgefield this past spring. There's Gina Kim to salt it away. And, of course, next closest, Wake Forest with 6.
He is Dan Brooks. I mean, maybe the most understated national champion dominated coach that we got in the league, right? Yep. Just all he does is win and win big. Dan Brooks is unbelievable.
Yep. Men's swimming and diving. We talked about this the other day, the potential next national championship. NC State's won 30 ACC titles in swimming and diving. The next closest program, North Carolina.
That's a big number. 30 ACC championships.
Yep.
Let that marinate a second.
Sure is.
That's a big number.
Sure is. It's a huge number. Field hockey number, it's a big one too. Karen Shelton and North Carolina have won 23 of them. 13 more than the next closest program. And, Pac, here is your point about Maryland, right?
Yep. Maryland is kind of sneaky in this department, and we're going to eventually get through some of these now. But I know the Terps are no longer with us. You know, they wrote a nice big fat check to leave town. But, you know, Maryland's ACC DNA has always been strong here in multiple sports, mm-hmm. as you're getting ready to find out.
Right. Next is softball. When you go softball, you immediately think about Lonnie Almeida and what Florida State have done. 12 more than the next closest program. Now think about that number. 12 more than the next closest program, which is Georgia Tech with 5.
They are the standard. Wow. We've said it all year, even though they did not win the regular season and they didn't win the conference championship tournament and came so mm-hmm. close to winning another national. They have been the standard in women's softball in this league for a long time.
Yeah, men's tennis, North Carolina's got 25 team titles and ACC championships. Next closest is Virginia with 13. Tar Heels, of course, have dominated when you look at just the history of men's tennis in the Atlantic Coast Conference going all the way back into the 60s and 70s and continue to be one of the top programs in the country, indoors or outdoors. And then the other one here that we want to get to, Clemson in football. The Tigers have now won 20 ACC titles, 6 straight. Now, we talk about that back end of this a lot, but when you think the 6 straight now passed Florida State, who won 15, there's where the – because, Mark, some of us are old enough to remember when Florida State came in this league and went on that run.
That's right.
And now to think that run has been superseded by Clemson 6 in a row, that shows you just how strong Clemson's been and really how impressive Florida State's start in this league was too.
Yeah, I think if you do a snapshot of when Florida State joined the league to where we are now, I mean, the combination of what Florida State and Bobby Bowden did, really changing ACC football forever. Not for a short term, forever. They brought a component of speed and national elitism. Again, Clemson had a great run in the 80s without question. North Carolina had really good teams. Maryland had really good teams. Georgia Tech won a national championship mm-hmm. in 1990. But when Florida State joined the league in football, they changed the way teams had to play. They would embarrass you if you didn't commit. And, you know, Clemson went through a lull after Danny Ford and so forth. And, of course, Jimbo Fisher had, you know, at the tail end, had that thing going, won a national championship in 2013. And obviously, the Tigers of late have just been the standard, not only within the league, but nationally along with Alabama.
All right. Let's sort this out in kind of a big board here, if we can, before we get to break. And Griff McGarry. Now, these are the most sports leading the ACC in league titles. Okay, so like North Carolina, 7 sports all time. Look at the note at the bottom, Pac. And this goes back to, like, remember when we talked about wrestling and field hockey and lacrosse from back in the day with Maryland? 7 unique sports in ACC championships, Maryland. How about that?
That would be a bar bet, is what that would be. And again, I know they're no longer in the league, but for folks that are old enough to be ACC fans, Maryland was part of some unbelievable runs in multiple sports, as that points out. But you know, and I said this before, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I kind of miss Maryland in the ACC. You know, I miss Gary Williams sweating through his suit and the intensity of a Coach K Gary Williams game. You know, I miss those. And I'll be honest with you, even though they're afraid to say it, Maryland misses it too. They don't have a rivalry in their new conference like they had when North Carolina and Duke in particular showed up the old Cole Fieldhouse or the Comcast Center. And I mean, those were incredible moments and games. But they had great runs in football when Jerry Claiborne was there and kind of changed the way ACC went about their business a long, long time ago. And Bobby Ross had incredible teams, too, at the University of Maryland. Ralph Regan won an ACC title and took them to the Orange Bowl in the early part of the century. So Maryland's had their moments, football, basketball, lacrosse, et cetera, et cetera. But I think when you talk about who's your daddy in the ACC with all these different sports, it is kind of cool to look back really at the history of our league and to see the runs that certain schools have had in certain sports. It's kind of a cool look back, but hence the reason for the bar bets and you know, just having some fun with it, kind of a goofball topic.
Yeah, and it's a good idea. It was good to look back at kind of how the runs have gone too in certain sports, right? We were talking about softball, women's soccer, things like that. It's interesting to see it all kind of lay out chronologically, if you will. So good stuff. Great research from our group. Good idea from Pac, of course. And we got more to go on a Friday. When we come back, Griff McGarry joined us earlier this week, the Virginia ace from last Sunday's win against Dallas Baptist. Went to work, struck out 10. He talks about the performance in the Super Regional, the bloody hand, and going to Omaha with Stephen Schock. All that and more. Griff McGarry next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, it's a Friday. It's a great, great Friday. A lot going on. Baseball. Coming up this weekend, College World Series in Omaha. And Wes, a guy that's going to have something to say about it, join us this week in case you missed it. Well, Griff McGarry, who had some kind of outing last weekend in a must-win situation for Virginia after they lost Game 1 against Dallas Baptist, he was awesome.
He was. Struck out 10 and 7 to help the Cavaliers blank Dallas Baptist. But McGarry became more noted for a Curt Schilling-ish type moment in the win against Dallas Baptist with a bloody hand. We asked him when we visited with him this week, what was it like to be kind of drawn into that piece of baseball history?
Yeah, no, I've been hearing it a lot. I'd seen a tweet from an old teammate of mine, Chesden Harrington, and you know he put them side by side. I thought it was pretty funny. And another thing, both my parents are actually from Boston, so you know, I heard it from my extended family a ton, you know, them reaching out after the game. It was pretty funny.
Here you are, Sunday, game's on the line. You guys know good and well what this is like. I mean, you're the kings of elimination games, seemingly. Take me through kind of how this works for you out there with the ball in your hand, and you got to go 7. You put 10 Ks on the board. I mean, What's the mindset? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, going into the game, really all I wanted to do was just get the job done for my team. You know, go as long as I possibly could to, you know, save our arms for maybe the next day if we made it there. And yeah, I mean, nothing really changed from my mentality going in. From, you know, each time I come in, it's just to go in there and pound the zone and, you know, throw as many strikes as possible and, you know, let them put the ball in play.
Griff, you know, we talk about teams at this point in time. You guys stayed in Columbia, it seemed like, for a month. In fact, I thought you were going to come out with Gamecock gear at that point in time, as long as you've been there. But the mental toughness of this team, given what you had to do, you lose that first game to South Carolina, you grind, you fight, you figure it out, you eliminate the Gamecocks, you eliminate Jacksonville. Hey, let's go. Let's go win this thing. Same thing, DBU. You know, a game I really thought you should have won. Game one, you didn't. All right, you get the mound, you take care of business, and then the grand salami in the seventh when the game decider was off. This team has been grinding, mentally tough. Elimination game, no problem. Let's just go win. That's got to help you heading to Omaha, right? I mean, I got to figure the confidence of this team knowing that, hey, we're going to see really good teams, but you know what? We're a really good team. The mental toughness of this team, I want you to talk about that if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this group of guys, it's a group of guys that are, you know, very, very resilient. You know, we do a lot of hard work in the fall, and, you know, our coaching staff really tries to instill that in us and, you know, open up, you know, new territory that maybe we haven't gone physically or, you know, mentally. And, yeah, I think it's, you know, it really helps, you know, down the road in the spring. And, you know, we're really seeing what we can do and, you know, just how tough we are, you know, when it comes to it.
I'm going to follow up on that. You know, I kid around the fact, you know, your Bay Area background and, you know, the Giants are always known as torture, right? I mean, that's what they call Giants baseball, torture. In some respects, you guys are kind of the same way. I mean, it's like nothing ever comes easy. And every time you think you're in position to make it easy, it doesn't stay that way, right? And I just think there's an advantage to teams that know how to win and find ways to win, where you look at the scorecard and go, well, you know, that's an easy out, that's an easy out. Well, guess what? Bottom of the order, somebody can beat you. Somebody gets the key hit when finally somebody gets the second. You guys have been doing this now for not only just the regional and the super regional, but even the second half of the season, I get a sense that your team has kind of adapted to this is the way we play. We're not going to get upset. Coach talked about poise the other day. It just seems that you guys have totally bought into that whole philosophy and you're executing like nobody's business.
Yeah, definitely. You know, back in, I think, April when we were playing Georgia Tech, you know, it was a pretty pivotal series for us. And, you know, we kind of knew our backs were against the wall a little bit. And, you know, our coaches were like, hey, this is how it is. And, you know, I think from that point on, a lot of guys on our team stepped up, you know, filled in new roles. And, you know, it's truly a whole, you know, culmination of effort and hard work that, you know, our guys got us to the point where we're at now.
The deciding game three, that seventh inning saw some of the most spectacular defensive plays and, of course, the ultimate bang. That you could get in a game. You may go a month and not see plays like you did just in the seventh inning of that game. It was such a good baseball game. If you love old school, I mean, DBU was terrific. You guys obviously were out of sight. But you're standing there in watching this thing from the dugout. When Newell makes the catch to save the run, you have to think, I mean, runs are so important. You got to be thinking, holy mackerel, you got to be kidding me. We just stole that one. And then Teal goes yard for the grand slam. How about your emotions in just the seventh inning? Standing there going, all right, guys, we got to make a play. And here's the grand slam. Catch you later. I mean, just what's that feel like as a guy? Again, senior, this is it. We got to win this thing. Let's get to Omaha. The whole routine, the defensive plays, the offensive plays. That seventh inning was just nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, no, I mean, hats off to DBU. They're a great defensive team. They made some pretty special plays. But, yeah, I mean, Chris Newell making that play in center field while we're down, that was absolutely awesome. You know, we saw the ball go up in the air, and, you know, our hearts, like, you know, kind of skip a beat a little bit, and, you know, we're just watching. It feels like slow motion. Then, you know, you see him at 6'3", you know, leap up as high as he can in the air, snag that ball. That was pretty awesome. And then, yeah, for Kyle Teal to come back that next inning and or that next half inning and you know, hit a home run was just beyond words. You know, he's a really special talent, and, you know, no better guy to be in that situation with bases loaded. And, you know, even with two strikes, he was able to, you know, hit the ball really hard and, you know, put it over the center field fence.
PM Eastern time, and the Hoos, man, they have just been grinding away in the second half of the season. And Wes, as we've discussed, for both teams, NC State and Virginia, lousy starts. State goes 1-8 in the league. Virginia goes 4-12, but yet they found it, right? And that, to me, is a testament of really good coaching and a team that believes in themselves. They could have easily just gone, hey, COVID year, high expectations, it's not our year, we'll catch you later, we'll try this thing again tomorrow. That didn't happen. Both these teams have really, in the second half of the season, been out of sight, and now they find themselves in Omaha.
And now playing from behind, you mentioned the more than once this week about, you know, you don't want to lose, certainly, and I think you said it earlier in the show today, that you don't want to lose that game if you're NC State or Virginia against Stanford or Tennessee. But at the same time, Pack, think about what they've done in their environment, especially the Cavaliers, right? I mean, just the ability to kind of keep that grind going, that's a heck of a quality to have in Omaha, especially if it doesn't go well Saturday and Sunday for either one of these schools.
And let's point this out. Both Virginia and NC State have done it on the road. You know, when you look at everybody else that's playing, Stanford, granted, they went on the road to Lubbock in the super regional, but they hosted their regional. Everybody else on that list that's rolling in there, hosted. It's one thing that when you've got crowd behind you, your people, if you will, you know the confines, and if you happen to fall behind, but you know what, you got the home field, not Virginia, not NC State. And to me, that does make a difference in terms of the mental toughness that, hey, you're going on the road. You lost to South Carolina if you're Virginia in Columbia. And guess what you did? You kept playing. You saw the Gamecocks again. You said, hey, it's an easy trip home. Catch you boys later. Same thing with Jacksonville, et cetera, et cetera. You're going down the road. The mental toughness of these two teams to be able to go on the road and survive, that old term, survive in advance, is so true. And not everybody else in Omaha has faced that, where all of a sudden somebody's going to lose Saturday. Somebody's going to lose Sunday. You're going to be in an elimination game and not be at home. How do you handle it? Well, guess what? I know how NC State and Virginia have handled it. They've already proven it with pressure situations. And I do think that's an advantage once you get to this deal. All these teams are really, really good. They're really talented, and they're playing with a lot of swagger. But Virginia and NC State have done it the hard way.
Yep. More, by the way, on the College World Series coming up top of the hour. Mike Rooney will join us from Omaha. We'll get caught up with Coach about kind of what he expects tomorrow from NC State and on Sunday at 2 o'clock from Virginia. Don't forget Wolfpack and Cardinal are at 2 o'clock on ESPN tomorrow. Cavaliers and Vols are Sunday on ESPN2, also at 2 o'clock. And as Pack likes to say this time of year in eastern Nebraska, weather permitting.
Yep, unfortunately. And the wind will start blowing in. And when, if you've ever been out there, you can sit there in the stands, press box, wherever you are, and you could see it coming. And you just know it's going to hit point in time, probably late afternoon. It'll be toasty. But, man, what an awesome event. And like I said, I am ready to put my feet up and watch all of it this weekend. It's going to be great.
I was in Wichita, Kansas one time. Georgia Tech was playing the Shockers in an NCAA regional, and a purple cloud came rolling in. Not a dark cloud, a purple cloud, Pack.
And you can see it. You can see it in Kansas and Nebraska now. If from 50 miles away, you can sit there and go, you know what? We're about 20 minutes away, and the wind starts picking up, and you're like, boys, hold on to your popcorn, because it's going to be goofy here for a little bit. So that's bound to happen.
All right.
2 o'clock for both starts, Saturday and Sunday for the ACC. So prepare accordingly.
Miami's got a baseball All-America first team for the first time in about 5 years, and he's going to join us next. The left-hander, Carson Palmquist, stormed onto the scene. Or Gino DeMari, and he'll join us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Baseball on the brain. And our next guest is going to make his debut on the program. And this is a name that you might want to remember for years to come. This guy is going to be making some serious noise in his future. And he is already an All-America. And he's got a pretty good handle on the two ACC teams that are going on to Omaha, because the Miami Hurricanes did all right against these Wahoos and Wolfpack. Let's bring on Carson Palmquist, who joins us. First of all, Carson, we appreciate the time, and congratulations. I know you'd rather be playing this weekend in Omaha with your boys, but from an individual standpoint, really a tremendous year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How difficult, by the way, is it? Let me follow up, Wes. How difficult is it, Carson, this weekend to put your feet up and say, you know what, I saw NC State, I saw Virginia. Man, I'd love to be out there with these guys. Let's go play.
It's extremely difficult because, I mean, everyone in the country, every Division I player wants to be there playing. But at the end of the day, then you got to start working out, getting stronger, getting better, figuring out what you got to do to get back to Omaha next year and be more competitive.
What does it say, I mean, when you look at kind of the stick-to-itiveness of NC State and Virginia, at least from the perspective of having played both teams, what does a young guy like yourself learn about just, you know, keeping on the grind, if you will?
That it's not about how good you start and how good your team starts. It's about, like, the long run and how you guys are doing, like, towards the end of the season, how you guys can grind it out and stick together, be teammates and friends and all of it, because it's a long season.
Now, the Canes won both series when you played both NC State and Virginia. But you mentioned to us just a second ago before we came out of the break that you're not surprised at all to see these two teams in Omaha. Why is that?
I thought both of the two teams, they both, when we played them, fought harder than any other team we played, never were down. Like, they could have been down 5 runs, but it felt like it was a close 1-run game or a tie ball game. They just never stopped fighting.
Any idea, kind of in your freshman year, did you expect the success that you had as a rookie, Carson?
Not that I expected it, but I worked hard enough for it, and like, I thought, why not me? Why couldn't it be me? And I'm just grateful every time I go out there and something good happens, because everything good is followed by something bad most of the time. It's just how you bounce back from it.
So how do you build on this? 1 year in under your belt. I know we're going to talk about what you got coming up here in a couple of weeks. This is really cool. But what do you work on after one season?
Staying healthy for the full season, not like falling off as I did at the end of this year, towards the end of the playoffs. And it's just keeping my body like in shape year round instead of just at the beginning.
Is it one of those things where it's, you know, we hear the term step by step, just kind of, you know, start to start, if you will, appearance to appearance. Is it literally come back to that, just understanding about staying in the moment?
Yes, for sure. So after doing well for a little bit, I could catch myself like being okay with like what's going on and being like happy with how I'm doing instead of like working harder. And that's one thing that I had to like start working on, was going from outing to outing, not like remembering what happened last week or what's going to happen or what did happen.
Carson, Stephen Schock from Virginia has almost become a cult hero, kind of quirky, different, offbeat, coming out of the pen. What is it with you relievers? What makes the mindset of a reliever a little bit different than everybody else on the roster?
We know how to have fun. We know how to turn it on when it matters. We were sitting around for a while watching the game, cheering on our teammates.
All right. So now, with that, well, wait a second. Let's just do a typical Miami Hurricane baseball game. You're it's third inning. You guys are up 3-0. Life is good. So what's the mindset at with the fourth inning, fifth inning? We're cutting up. We're goofing around. We're taking a look at the crowd. We're doing whatever we're doing. So walk us through that as a reliever. What goes through your mind there?
Well, for the first couple innings of the game, I'm looking around, just having fun, cheering on my teammates, trying to get the game going, like, in our direction. And then towards about, like, the fourth through, like, the sixth, seventh inning, I would be just doing, like, arm stretches, bands, anything that I would need to, like, get ready to, like, if I had to go warm up, that I would be ready to go warm up right then. And then after that, just be ready at all times, but, like, at the moment, still, like, cheering on your teammates and being happy, like, for what's going on in the moment. And then just at the end, just turning it on.
All right. When Pac mentioned Steven Shock's name, you started smiling. You kind of like the Shock show. It's got kind of a – it's pure closer, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of – that's the one that threw the glove at the end of the Virginia game, right, with the long – yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. Seems like a cool kid.
But you guys as a whole are always a little quirky, a little different. And, you know, if everybody was the same, I guess it would be boring, right? I mean, so you need somebody to, or at least a group of guys to keep everybody on their toes. And that's where you guys come in, right?
Got to keep everyone waiting for what's going to happen. Never know what's going to happen. You
know,
uh-oh. Like, look out.
Just like that.
There we go. All right. Yeah. You never know what happens. Hey, Carson, one of my favorite college pitchers of all time was a closer at Miami named Robbie Morrison, a guy who obviously had a great career, had an unbelievable rookie season, just as you have. And the reason I liked him so much was he knew everybody was out to get him. And I think they called him the Piranha because he came in. It was a little sidearm. It was a whole show and everything else. What is the mentality when you get on the mound? Why is it, as a closer, the mentality switch? You know, look, we can go the quirky route with Shock, and I can go the route where, like, Rivera used to come in and just, you know, throw the split for strikes. When you get in the ball game, you're a left-hander. You're already ahead of the game, in my opinion. I'm a left-hander. I didn't pitch, thank God. But the idea of mentality, you're ahead of the game. Where does that stand with you when you step on the mound?
Just to be, like, overconfident in yourself. Like, as a closer, I believe the most important thing is just to believe that you can do it, because the second you go out there and believe you can't, that's when that one inning blows up on you. And that's mostly all you got, is one inning, three outs to end the game. And those are the hardest three outs to get. So you have to be to believe in yourself and believe in your team that's behind you.
Carson, I got to ask you, and I don't know if you will partake, because, I mean, you are out there, you're playing a game, but the shakes at your home ballpark are legendary.
Oh, my God.
Have you sampled those, or is that off limits on game day?
They're off limits on game day, but I used to, when I was younger, I'd come to ball games every weekend and get shakes. I love them. Nothing beats them.
What's the go-to for you?
Our press announcer's name, I honestly forgot it.
Well, the J-Row,
yeah.
What's in it?
Yeah.
It's been like 5-6 years since I've had one. I honestly don't even know. I just remember my cousins, every time we would go down, they'd get the J-Row for all of us.
Man, off limits on game day, huh? That kind of stinks, doesn't it?
Bad scene.
But gets us ready.
All right, so
can't be out there.
We go with sunflower seeds. What are we doing? Gum. What's on game day? What are we going with?
Sunflower seeds. Big sunflower seed guy.
Yeah, me too. I love those things. Those things are great. Awesome. All right, I got to ask you a traditional question. I know one year under your belt, since you've been at the University of Miami, Carson, What has been your hardest class?
My hardest class, definitely a math class. Math 102 or 101 for sure. Not up there, but
Wes.
Math will get.
That's a Wes Durham special.
I'm with him. What do you mean, Wes? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Wes Durham special.
No doubt, math. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't want any part of it. 55 years old, I don't want to go to a math class.
All the rest of them.
That's it. All of them. Hey, Carson, good luck with Team USA this summer. Congratulations on being a first-team All-America as a freshman. It's a heck of an accomplishment. Look forward to watching you the next couple of years, my man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Have a great summer. Carson Palmquist, left-hander from Miami. American Baseball Coaches Association, first team All-America. Man.
That guy right there, I'm just telling you, is going to be a star. That guy right there,
yep.
You're going to hear his name a bunch if you're an ACC baseball fan, if you love following baseball down the road. He's got ridiculous upside. And the fact that a freshman is getting those kind of accolades, I'm just telling you, you just mark that one. Carson Palmquist, that guy is going to be a star right there.
Yep. He sure will.
Yep.
How about we got to talk to Gino about no milkshakes on game day. Apparently, we got to get into that.
I get
that's it. The third guy to tell us you can't have them.
Right? I know. I knew he couldn't have them, and I thought that maybe he snuck one in and was going to tell us, but that was probably a good thing he did and didn't. Yeah. But we got to get down. That's another road trip for us. We're just making a long list of 15 months not doing anything.
We've had a lot of time.
We've saved the way I look at it, we have saved ESPN a lot of money. We have saved that company so much cash not going on the road.
Yep.
And we're going to have a coming out party is what we're going to do. That's what we're doing.
Josh Macri got to take us to Maine. We got to get a Josh Macri trip to Maine with the Voice of Victory at some point too.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll get to Maine, but, you know, the Kentucky Derby, cross country, on a boat for the rowing championship, shakes down at Miami, barbecue at Clemson. But we got a lot of places that we got to get caught up on. Just saying. Yeah. Pat Kraft wants us up there Boston. Wild Hack wants us up there at Syracuse.
Nah.
Just saying.
Yeah. You've already got the Notre Dame-Carolina game figured out with cross country. You've done well there. I've talked about Friday in Blacksburg before Carolina, Virginia Tech. I saw you light up when I mentioned the piranha, Robbie Morrison. You remember him?
I do. I have had not thought of him in forever, but that's such a great nickname. That is a great nickname.
Well, apparently Danny Graves lit up when I mentioned the piranha, Robbie Morrison, too.
There you go.
When I said he was my favorite Canes closer.
Oh.
Sorry, Danny. I'm just telling you.
I mean, that was your opinion. I mean, don't take it personally.
Your man Jim Morris. Hey, Graves, your man Jim Morris, he said, Wes, come over here and meet Robbie Morrison. He's going to be a star. And he was a star at Miami. I mean, big-time player.
Yeah,
all right, sit tight. Danny will be with us next week.
Yeah.
He'll have plenty to talk about.
By the way, I want to point out something real quick. We do this every day, but I'm going to emphasize it today. We changed up the set today because I was so impressed with Lars Tiffany.
Nice job, we got the new helmet up.
Yeah, Lars Tiffany, University of Virginia. And I've already got a couple of people sending me a note. Hey, what's that up over your head today? Literally right up over my head right there, that right there. That is the new University of Virginia men's lacrosse national championship helmet signed by everybody. And they're having a hard time looking at that, the logo. That is the Cavalier that's doing basically this. And the one right here beside me, that's the last one he had won. So we did a little bookend action there. Everything you see up there on the set, Notre Dame National Championship fencing helmet, that's back over there. The new UVA helmet. You got Pastner up over the top of my head. The Boston women's lacrosse goggles right there. That's still rocking and rolling. So, again, that's what's on the backdrop. Every day we change something up.
Tag on there for street cred.
Street cred. Kept it. Under Armour. BC Women's All right. National Championship goggles.
When we come back, a late Friday edition of Take Your Pick has been thrown in. More screen time for the Voice of Victory, apparently.
Yep.
Back.
All right.
We'll come back. Friday edition on a Father's Day weekend underway on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. 844-SAY-ACCN. In case you're in the mood, Mike Rooney's coming up here in about 10 minutes to really break down NC State and Virginia and what they face this weekend against Stanford and Tennessee, respectively. But right now, Wes, we head to Bristol, Connecticut, where all the smart people hang out, and that includes the Voice of Victory right there. Here he is.
Wearing a little Madras today.
Lumberjack.
A little Madras plaid. Nice.
Yep.
You got summertime lumberjack wear.
Oh, yeah. That's the spring collection.
By the way, have we found any sign of life of your partner, Drew Brooks, who, number one, his school, Arizona State, looks like they're going on probation, not to mention his Diamondbacks yesterday lost their 23rd consecutive road baseball game.
Jeez.
Congratulations.
It happens.
You're welcome. Compliments to the San Francisco
Giants.
Yeah, but
the Suns are going to the Western Finals, so you really can't say anything to him, Pac.
Oh, yeah, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Talk to him next week.
Say it to his face when he's back next week.
That's right. That'll happen. Yeah. All right, Voice of
Victory.
Say it to
his
face
when he's back. Yeah.
What do we got?
All right, guys, today we got a little Take Your Pick, and we'll start in Omaha. Take your pick. Will Virginia or NC State score more runs in the College World Series? Let's keep in mind UVA scored 14 in the Supers compared to NC State's 11, although during the season the Pack have scored 373, the Hoos 338.
I'll take the Pack here.
I am too.
I'm going to take the Pack. Yep.
Yep, I am too. I think their first game could be a banger, even though that ballpark, again, kind of neutralizes home runs, but both of these teams can pop it. So, yeah, I'm going to say NC State. Because I think to try to answer this question, you also have to look at who else is in the bracket, right? Who else is in the bracket, right? And I think when I look at I tell you, Vanderbilt's tough. They got great pitching. Arizona can score. I think NC State's the answer there. Yep. I'm going to go Pack.
Yep. I'm going to go that route. All right.
Okay. Our two-a-days today, profiling Pitt and Boston College, leads us to the question, take your pick, or the prompt, take your pick. Will Phil Dracovic or Kenny Pickett have more passing yards this coming season?
Ooh.
These are good questions. Macri's been on the question game all week long, by the way.
That's a great question. Oh, man. You know, I am going to go Kenny Pickett.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
That's a great question.
All right.
Number one, that's a great question. But I'm going to go Pickett because I think you can throw it more against Coastal than Atlantic teams. That's why.
Wow. Look at the expanded logic there.
How about that thought?
That's pretty good, though. Right. That's pretty good. I don't disagree with that logic when you start thinking about who Dracovic's going to play as opposed to who Kenny Pickett's going to play from the defensive perspective.
Yep.
I think Kenny Pickett is the answer. And not to diminish what I think Dracovic and Zay Flowers will do.
Right.
And Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett has Lucas Kroll at tight end, plus about four guys, plus a Abanikanda out of the backfield. I just think there's more that you know about Pitt's throw game at this point than BC's.
Yep.
So I'll take Kenny Pickett as well.
Yeah, that's a good question, though. Excellent question.
So you both go Pickett. Two of the guys he's going to be throwing to, Jordan Addison and Taysier Mack, leads us to our next Take Your Pick. Who finishes with more touchdowns, not yards, touchdowns,
Addison.
In 2021? Addison or Mack?
Jordan Addison. I believe Addison is the guy who is – he's top 10 quality in terms of touchdowns, yards, catches, the whole bit. Mack is a guy who – He has moments. I just think Addison can have longer stretches.
Agreed. 100%. I have nothing more to add to that. True. Mm. Brought to you by Dish.
I feel like my streak of good questions came to an end on that one with how quickly you guys both agreed with each other.
No, that's a good...
No, we're good.
It's a good question. I just think there's more under the hood with Addison. That's all.
Don't sell yourself short. Your questions this week have been spot on. Really good.
Appreciate that.
Excellent.
A couple more before we get out of here and make room for Mike Rooney. We head back to Omaha. Tyler McDonough and Luca Tresh tied for the NC State lead in home runs with 15. Take your pick. Who has more big flies in the College World Series?
It has to be one of these two.
Take your pick of these two.
Take your pick.
So the pick isn't C.
No, it cannot be.
I'm going to go, just because I think he's got a cooler name, I'm going to go Luca Tresh. So I'm going to break the tie.
Okay. I'll just go the other one, McDonough. I think it's a 50-50 ball here. I mean, I really do. It could be Johnny Butler. It could be Brown. It could be Torres. It could be anybody. But since we have to pick one of the two, Pack took Tresh, I'll take McDonough. How's that, Josh?
Yeah.
Good. Cooler Luca, Tresh or Brossy?
Tresh.
Yep.
Okay.
True.
Last one here. We'll stay in Omaha and go to the concession stand with those colossal tots. Would Chester or Fuller, take your pick, be more likely to make themselves sick if left alone in a room with colossal tots?
Fuller. Not even close.
And those around him would pay for it, too.
That's right. Where's Buddy West? That thing right there.
Yeah.
That thing right there. Fuller's got a really, really sensitive stomach, so that would be a problem. Chester's like me, man. He's going to swallow whole, and he's good. Here's Chester right there on the Roger Goodell chair. Nice, he's awake. And Fuller's sound asleep at my feet. No, Fuller's the answer to that question. That's an easy one. Easy.
Brother Fuller.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of colossal tarts, or tots, rather, not tarts. Colossal tot. Tart is sweet tarts. Remember the big sweet tarts?
Don't try to talk your way out of it with me, brother. You're the one that stepped in that one. I don't know anything about a colossal tart.
Colossal tot. Colossal tot. Mike Rooney next from Omaha. Maybe we can get a colossal tot sighting at some point in the next week or so. Mike Rooney next. We'll look more at NC State and Stanford, Tennessee, Virginia. The ACC's representation in the College World Series. We will go live to Omaha. Is Mike in the drover for the buffet? We'll check when we come back after this on Packer and Durham. Power Hour next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.